Well, it's good to see y'all tonight. Good to see everybody. I hope that this goes good for y'all. David builds me up a whole lot better than I am, but that's what you need. You know, the Bible says to encourage, and I appreciate it. I do. I appreciate it. This evening's lesson is going to come from Romans chapter 12. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at verses 1 through 21, which is the whole chapter, but we'll do it quick. So if you'd like to turn there and start there, that would be great. We'll start out with verse 1 and go on through the chapter. You know, when we wake up tomorrow, it's going to be a new year that embraces us. It will have been 2,024 years since the birth of Christ. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that say they don't believe in Christ and that they worship other people, but there's not a single person in the world that doesn't count time from the birth of Christ. He was no ordinary person, you see. All the billions that have been born, none of them have changed things like Christ has. And when he came to this earth, he taught that we need to change in order to do some things to go to heaven for all of eternity. I mean, without need for us to change and without the need for us to be forgiven of our sins, there would have been no need for him to come. But he did, and for that we're truly thankful. But for us to change, there's some things we have to do, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. We have to make a change. You know, as the new year rolls in tomorrow, I'm sure a lot of you have already made New Year's resolutions, plans to change something during the coming year. And I want to take a few moments to speak to you about some changes that could be the most important changes that you and I ever make. Because you see, in order for us to live the kind of life that God wants us to live, there's got to be some changes that take place. You know, our world likes to say you can just believe in Christ and that's it. Live any way you want. You're saved. But that's not what the Bible says. The best New Year's resolution that any of us could make would be to draw nearer to God. And in order to do that, we have to live the changed life. So this evening, I want us to take a look at what this transformation or this change should look like. And we'll take a few minutes to look at some of the things that we may need to change. First of all, we're going to need to surrender to do God's will. That's the first thing we need to do. When we become a Christian, the first thing that people should notice is that there's something different about us. We don't act like everybody else. We have surrendered to God's will. Romans 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I urge you. See, that's a strong word. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You see, it does no good for me to come up here for 1 hour on Sunday, then live like the devil the rest of the week. That's not true worship. We need to live our lives as Christians, pleasing to God. Many times people think they can just live any way they want, but that's not what the Bible tells us. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13, the Bible said, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully clear-headed, fully sober, it says, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, see, there's a difference in children. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, before you were a Christian. Don't do those things. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You see, there's something we have to do. We can't keep surrendering to sin. We have got to have a changed life. And that starts with surrendering to God's will, surrendering to Christ. But we all know, also need to seek a renewed mind. We don't just say we surrendered and just keep doing the things we did. Verse 2 tells us not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know, renewing of minds to live for Christ is not something that just happens when you say, hey, I believe in Jesus. As some teach, just accept Jesus. That doesn't change our minds. Renewing our minds is much more than that. And it doesn't just come magically. It comes from us retraining our minds to be more spiritual, to do more of what God says to do, to live our lives for Him. And in order to do that, we have to transform our minds to do God's will. Romans 12, starting in verse 3 now. For the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than you should. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many in one body in Christ and individually, we're members of one another. According to the grace given us, we have different gifts. I think we all agree with that. We all have different gifts. It says here, if it's prophecy, use it according to the standard of faith. If it's service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If encouraging, and I appreciate what David was doing earlier, by encouraging others. When giving, do with generosity. Notice it didn't say if giving. When giving, do so with generosity. That's how we give. When leading, do so with diligence, showing mercy and cheerfulness. You see, we've all got different gifts. And God expects us to use those gifts. He doesn't expect somebody who can't lead singing to lead singing. But He does expect someone who's got that gift to use it for Him. After all, He's the one who gave it to us. But we also need to resolve to learn to love properly. If we want to look at how to love properly, we can look at verses 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. See, devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. You know, I don't mean this to come out wrong, but I'm country, and a lot of times that things do, and Shelley just kind of shakes her head. But, you know, I think we've kind of learned how to pretend to love each other. How to pretend to love. I mean, we know how to speak kindly, how to avoid hurting somebody's feelings, how to appear like we care for others. I guess you could call it, we know how to play nice. But that's not what God is telling us. He's calling us to have a real and sincere love that goes far beyond politeness or being courteous or making someone think you care. When God says He wants us to love each other, He wants us to love each other like we love our children. Now that's a love. That's how we should love one another, with that kind of love. It means that we love them so much we want to help people become better people. Others in the church that need our help, we want to help our kids. With the right kind of love, we want to help others too. And doing so takes from us. It takes our time. It might take our money. It's going to definitely take personal involvement. But to resolve how to love each other takes all these things. And we need to be willing to help those in our church, just like we would help our own kids. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7 says, love is patient, love is kind, it's not jealous, love does not brag, it's not arrogant, it does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own and is not easily provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. You know, if our kids do something to us, we're okay, we move on. But sometimes in the church, if somebody hurts our feelings, it's like, well, I'm not talking to them. Hey, love them like you love your kids. Love them anyway. That's what God wants. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You see, it's more than just a word. It has all of these attributes, or all these qualities that are described in 1 Corinthians 13. But as we transition our minds and change our minds, we need to have the mindset of being determined that we're going to do what is right every day. Verse 11 says, "Do not lack diligence, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." You know, when you look up the word fervor, you'll see a lot of synonyms to it. One of them is passion. Keep your passion serving the Lord. Another, dedication. Keep your dedication, your enthusiasm, eagerness, or commitment. Keep that serving the Lord. And when you think about it, I mean, we should be willing to serve Christ. Look what he did for us. I mean, God, the only God, came from heaven to walk as a human, be beaten and murdered. I mean, terribly murdered. He did that for us. And when our minds are transitioned, we can lean on these promises that God has given us from what he did for us. He didn't just idly talk. He actually did that. That's love. Actually doing something. We are very blessed, and we need to remember it. And in order to focus on these things instead of the worldly problems, then we have to change our minds where we have the proper perspective. Verse 12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." That patient in affliction, that's kind of a tough one there. But if we really, really trust in God, then we can be joyful in all things. With proper perspective, we will have faith that God's going to take care of us. You know, in men's class one time, or maybe it's when David was teaching in the back, I remember him saying, you know, somebody might steal your happiness, but don't let them steal your joy. Because joy is where we know what we have for all of eternity. Some things might not make us happy, but never let it steal your joy. Have the proper perspective. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him." See, when we have a believing faith, we know that God's there for us. Even when things don't go right, he is there for us. And if we knew all the times really that God's divinely intervened in their lives, does anybody out here really think everything you got, you just did it on your own? Hey, we could be some other country. We are blessed people, very blessed. And we have all these blessings that we have because God, he gave us these blessings. We may think we've earned it, but God allowed us to have it. He's allowed us to be physically able to do it. He's blessed us. And you know, sometimes there are people who are not able. And that's why God tells us to take care of our brothers and sisters. Some are not as blessed as we are. That's our job, to step in. And that brings us to the next thing we need to resolve to do. We need to resolve, as Christians, to be willing to help others in the church. Starting in verse 13, we read, "Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." You know, that's worth a lot. When you're going through something bad, it's good to have somebody there crying with you. Or something good, somebody there to be there with you. "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly." Who gave us what we have anyway? God did. We shouldn't look down on somebody else just because we are very blessed. We need to look at them with love and know that, hey, I'm blessed enough, I can help. "Do not be wise in your own estimation, and never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone." Might not be possible. Some might not be at peace with us, but we need to be at peace with everyone. And it goes on to say, because we're not supposed to take revenge, but leave room for that for God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. He goes on to tell us, even if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. What's he saying? He's saying, love them anyway. No matter what, Christ loved us anyway. None of us deserved it at all. And we've got to remember, we're servants of God, and we're the people that God uses to do his good works. But to do that, we need to resolve to live righteously. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, to live righteously, we have to make a decision as we renewed our minds to do what God has told us to do. Living righteously isn't just being a good person. There's a lot of good people that will go to hell. Living righteously is being a Christian. And that's what God expects a Christian to do. We're expected to live righteously. We're expected to help others. We're expected to do our part in this body called the church. Whatever talent that is, that's what grows a church. But you know, it doesn't do any good for anybody to live righteously if they're not a Christian, because we know that only Christians will be rewarded. And that brings me to my next question. Are you a Christian? If not, that's the first thing that needs to be done for the new year, before the new year. There's nothing that you can change in your life. There's no resolution that you can make that's more important than that. Do you believe in Jesus? You know, the whole so-called Christian faith agrees on this one. Now, some in there and say, all you got to do is believe. But Jesus said, they're going from what Jesus said. In John 6:47, he said, the one who believes has eternal life. And we know that's true because Jesus said it. Have to believe. But he also said, you have to repent of your sins. In Luke 13:13, Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And in Luke 5:32, he said, I hadn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Some stopped there, but Jesus didn't. Jesus kept going. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So we must confess that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus didn't stop there. Some people do. But Jesus went on and talked about baptism. In Mark 16:16, he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And how people cannot see that, I don't know. But some people don't. But Jesus Christ said that. He had all of his apostles that he trained for 3 years. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter is preaching to the crowd. And he is preaching what Jesus taught him for 3 years. And he's telling them, y'all killed him. You killed him. They had seen him. They had seen him die. They had seen him resurrected. Hundreds had seen him. And they were cut to the heart and said, what do we do? This man who Jesus taught told them, you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why people don't see that. The Bible tells us that. Verse 41 goes on to say, those who received his word were baptized. About 3,000 that day. There's more than that heard it. But those who received it did what he said, see? Those who received his word. But it goes further than that, because Jesus said we also have to live in a way where he would dwell in us. John 15:5-6, Jesus said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. We've got to all look at our own life on that. If you remain in Jesus, you will bear much fruit. That's what he says. apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's what he goes on to say. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch. So you are in him, or you wouldn't have been there to start with. If you don't remain in him, then you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. You know, being a Christian consists of so much more than just what we're told sometimes. It consists of making the biggest change you can ever, the best resolution that you can ever make in your life is to be a Christian. And the next one is to resolve to continue to be a faithful servant. It takes resolve. It takes living a changed life. And if there's anyone here who has not done that, who has the need to, or needs the prayers of the church for any reason, then we're going to ask that you would come forward as David lead us in our invitation song.
When we walk